Welcome to Locked On Heat. Today's show is a recorded version of the live show that we did on Facebook Live Tuesday night. We're breaking this up into two parts. In part one, we talked about the Heat's Game 5 loss to the Sixers, and if we think Dwayne Wade will retire this summer. This is part two, where we answer a handful of listener questions about the future of the team. If you don't know us already, my name is Wes Goldberg, and I'll be joined by my co-host, David Ramil, here in a minute. We're a pair of credentialed writers who write and talk about the NBA and the Miami Heat, and this is our daily podcast called Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's go to some more Twitter questions here, or just questions from our Facebook Live comments. Trey asks, what are your thoughts on this roster returning as well as Wade? And we talked about this a little bit, but what if Wade does return? Does he come back as a starter? I wanted to talk about this, but in the broadcast, in the TNT broadcast, they mentioned how they had talked to Wade beforehand, and he said he wanted to start this game, that he's been itching to start, and we've heard comments in the past that, look, he's been very accepting of his role. He's no Hassan Whiteside, that's for sure, but he does want to be a starter. I don't think he is a starter, but do you think that Wade will request to be a starter in return for coming back?
I hope not, because that just kind of spits in the face of what he was doing at the end of this season. And again, I don't think that he is a starter by any stretch. He didn't. If he wanted to start tonight's game, that's great, but he didn't play like a starter. He played like a 36-year-old player and somebody who wasn't able to contribute for more than the few minutes that he did play. I think we've kind of forgotten about him for so long, but, you know, the reality is that this team also has Dion Waiters there, a guy who we had hoped would be the team's – I expected him to be the team's leading scorer this year, a guy who – did not look good at the start of the season, but, you know, you could attribute that to injury, maybe being a little bit out of shape, although we never really heard that that was the case. But if he returns next year, he's still 25 years old, right? I mean, he's still in prime condition, entering the peak of his physical career. Hopefully he'll be healthy. Hopefully he'll be in the best shape of his life. Still has something to prove. And to me, I feel like that's always been an important thing for Dion. Like, you know, everybody had cast him off after when he entered restricted free agency, and then when he was renounced by the Oklahoma City Thunder, he entered unrestricted free agency. He was basically looked at as any kind of journeyman, somebody that you wouldn't really want to build around. And then he was able to parlay one really strong season in Miami into a lucrative career. Unfortunately, the injuries took him out.
Are you telling me Dion is going to be enough to make Miami a championship team? I'm putting words in your mouth, but. He'll be 27 in the first 3 months of the season, and you're right. That's still young.
27 already?
Yeah, he'll be 27.
I thought he was 25.
He's 26. He's turned 26 in December, so he'll be 27 this December.
My goodness. Okay.
And that's just a shout out to Alexis here in our Facebook chat. She just said Philly cheese. That might be enough to make Miami a title contender. I'm kidding. Unless they play the Warriors, then they've got it. If Wade returns, something else has to happen before then, as far as clearing out more room. And I don't think Wade will return as a starter, even if he wants to.
Exactly. He wasn't a starter in Cleveland. He shouldn't be a starter in Miami.
Ellington, who we think is gone just for cap purposes, and then they'd have to probably move Tyler or Dion, one of those guys, in order to facilitate Wade actually playing. And he's not going to come to play the Udonis Haslem role, right? If he comes back, he's going to want to play. Let's go to another question. Mario asks or writes in, saying it quietly, trade Dragic. Saying it loudly, trade Whiteside. Well, we've been saying that loudly all year. But saying it quietly, trade Dragic. I kind of alluded to it earlier. Do you think – and Matt Moore came on the show towards the end of the regular season and said that the Heat should trade Goran Dragic. Do you think that they should shop him this summer?
I have a hard time with that because I personally like Goran's game, and I like his impact and his – his work ethic, and I feel like he provides incredible value. He had some really good games against Philadelphia. He's got a fire to him, obviously, and I mean, hell, as I mentioned to you earlier, I mean, my only problem with him slapping Ben Simmons is that he didn't slap him hard enough. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like,
I mean, it depends on what they get back, obviously, right?
Yeah, he was a little bit exposed, and I saw a lot of people tweeting about, oh, Miami has to clear the decks with all these small guards. Goran's not a small guard. He's not 6'7". He's not 6'10 like Ben Simmons. But then again, you know, they had a starting backcourt of T.J. McConnell and J.J. Redick for a long time there. It's not, you know, Goran could have matched up very well with that lineup had they kept it. But, you know, obviously the future of the league, I think, is just a bunch of tall, versatile players that can make a lot of plays across the board there. And I don't know that Goran fits into that mold anymore at 31 still. I think he's not quite, you know, he's certainly not in the peak of his career. And I think he's already starting to decline or heading towards a decline soon. So it's kind of tough to say. I mean, okay, he's got 2 years left on his deal?
Yes.
Okay.
Player option for that second year. Player option 2019-2020 for $19 million that he's probably going to take.
That's another thing, too. Look, that's a really difficult one because I know he talked about when he signed in Miami, one of the things that was most appealing to him was loyalty from the franchise, and maybe that was a dig at Robert Sarver and the Phoenix Suns front office. But at the same time, you know, that was something that was put out there in the public eye. And if Pat Riley trades him away, a guy who spoke about the loyalty of his team, et cetera.
I don't buy it. I mean, Boston traded away Isaiah Thomas, and everybody loves the Celtics still. It's not – people love the ruthless general manager.
I'm
they just
from
do
the
it.
Player
he plays
perspective.
Well. What?
From the player perspective. Not from the
well, it doesn't matter. For the player perspective, you think it'll be hard to attract
free agents? Well, you're talking about trading Dragic theoretically to build a team in the future and by luring a free agent. I mean, are these guys going to want to come over here to... Okay, nobody wants to come here to this team to play with Goran Dragic.
Right.
Dragic, as a white European player that's known for being feisty and picking fights with half the league, isn't a guy that you want as your... I guess, you know, you're not friendly with Goran Dragic for whatever reason. Or for those
sure,
reasons,
but I think... I don't think it'll... I think I disagree. I don't think it'll affect a free agent coming to Miami that much. I think Miami is still Miami. They still are a proven team that they have proven two players in the past that they know how to build championship teams. They have that reputation still with or without Goran Dragic. I don't think it'll be that bad. I think they knew. Goran Dragic is really important to this team. He had been Miami's most consistent player. He was a sort of all-star this year. But his value isn't going to be higher than it is right now, and this is a team that doesn't have a whole lot of assets, doesn't have a lot of ways of improving this roster. So if it is for the right price, I think you move Goran Dragic. Now, I don't move Dragic for the 23rd pick in the draft. You know, I don't move him for something like that, but I might move him for a lottery pick. I might move him for a couple of future first rounders, or a first rounder and a prospect that the Heat believe in and think that they can develop. I just think that the Heat are at this point right now, and you can find a replacement level point guard in the free agent market, and you can sort of you could do it that way. Maybe you could try moving Tyler Johnson to point guard and see if you can get more out of him that way.
What about Justice?
Or Justice Winslow, obviously. Yeah, I mean anybody. But that kind of leads us into our next question here. This one comes from my buddy Ross from UCF. Go Knights. What's one stylistic/strategic/lineup change that you'd like to see the Heat make next season? I want to answer this one because I have an idea, and this is something I've been thinking about. First of all, trade Whiteside. That's my lineup change.
I love it.
The way that Goran Dragic played in EuroCup was so much fun with all that ball movement and spacing and things that Spoelstra clearly wants to do but just doesn't quite have the personnel to nail it. He has the personnel to do it, that they happily will move off the ball and do things. They just can't do it quickly, right? And that's what they just don't have that skill set. I that's what I want to see next year. If Dragic is still here, and I still think Dragic has got it, he could play out the rest of this contract and live up to it at minimum, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of where if it's the same basic team, that's the way I want this team to go, is go play faster, which would mean giving a lot more minutes to guys like Bam, Winslow, and Richardson, and making them focal points of this roster, as well as Olynyk, guys who can get up and down the floor and play a little bit faster. Just pick up the pace, play fast, because I can't do a whole another season of this absolute slog of an offense. I mean, it was effective. I give Eric Spoelstra all the credit in the world of getting the most out of this team, but however he needs to do it, I'm you know, raise the standard even higher, because just play faster. I want to enjoy it, because I was watching the Sixers, and at by the time it was the second half of Game 5 and it was clear that they were going to win that game, I just started sitting back and appreciating how fast and how much fun that they play. I mean, they run after misses, they run after makes. I that's the kind of basketball I like. So just aesthetically and selfishly, that's what I want. What about you?
Well, I kind of want to dig into that a little bit, because honestly, I feel like that's probably the same thing. I feel like I probably would want the same thing out of this team. But you know, obviously, the first domino that would have to fall for that is moving Hassan Whiteside. So in this faster potential lineup, you move Whiteside. What kind of return do you get for a guy like Whiteside? Or do you simply just move him for the sake of clearing him out there and then doing what you can with the rest of the roster?
Yes, to the second thing you said. Let's just say that they, for the sake of argument, because it's easier, let's just say they get nothing. They get a second round pick and they draft a bench player, whatever, backup point guard, something like that. I think that you go with Bam, Olynyk.
Center.
Okay. Yeah, Bam and Olynyk is your front court. Winslow, Richardson. No. You probably have to go Olynyk, James Johnson, Richardson, Dion, Dragic. We're kind of just assuming it's the same team coming back.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way to appropriately answer this question. And then you're bringing guys like Winslow.
You think that's a faster lineup than what we saw this year? I mean, I guess Dion would push the pace.
I think you would get that little mix of what happened the second half of two seasons ago in that drive and kick backcourt between Dragic and Dion. I think you get a little bit of mix of that, plus some of that fun dribble handoff and spacing that Olynyk brings. It would be like taking that group and putting the 41 and 41 team, but replacing Whiteside with Olynyk, and replacing Willie Reed with Bam Adebayo, and replacing Luke Babbitt with also Kelly Olynyk. Or bring back Luke Babbitt, because why not? He could be Heat lifer too.
He's a free agent, right?
He's a free agent. Sign him back at the minimum. Maybe something like that. I wouldn't mind starting Bam and Olynyk in the front court either. And then doing Winslow, Richardson, and Dragic, bringing Dion off the bench as your sixth man.
Nope, that's not going to happen.
Why?
Because Dion's never going to take that role.
I think he will. I think he'll listen.
Yeah, no, I don't. we're forgetting who Dion Waiters is. Like, I know that
what's he gonna do? Not like if Spoelstra says you're coming off the bench, is he gonna just not?
Well, he's already gonna get paid. He can sit there and pout and refuse to play, and he can sabotage everything. And then Pat Riley's gonna have to try to find a way to trade a guy who might be out of shape and not being able to live up to his contract, and who's already shown
as long as he's in at the end of games, I think he'll be fine. I don't know if he. Okay.
I disagree. All right.
There's only one way to find out, and that's dimension. Let's see. Do we have any other questions here they want to get to? Do you want to give a quick shout out to Tony Fiorentino? This might have been his last game. Oh, this was his last game.
It was. I still think that. He did provide some good analysis occasionally. He was fun to listen to. I think for people that grew up with this incarnation of the Heat broadcasting team, his camaraderie with Eric was a joy to watch and to listen to. And it's going to be weird. I'll be 100% honest with you. I'm not sure that I'm fully prepared for a new broadcast team next year, even though I know I'm drawing a blank on who's replacing him. What's the name of our point guard there?
Goran Dragic? What are you talking about?
No. The backup. Who's replacing Tony Fiorentino in the broadcast booth?
Oh, John Crotty.
John Crotty, yes. Yeah, that is our former point guard, John Crotty.
It should be Caron Butler. I'm so mad at this. And it really should be Chris Bosh, but he's already too good for local TV.
I don't know why. Look, I love Caron, but at the same time...
He's not good.
No, he'd be terrible.
He's really bad at being on TV, which is I want internal development. I love it. We can get the most out of Caron Butler. TNT is not doing him well. They are putting him in bad situations, and I want the best for Caron Butler. Richard Jefferson was really good on NBA TV earlier today, by the way. He's going to be awesome.
He's polished. Yeah, he's polished. He's got his podcast. I mean, that's...
We have our podcast. We should be the color guys.
Oh, I'm all for that. I think we could do a great job.
We would be awesome. We would keep the myth of Mount Vernon alive. Here's another question that came from Jonathan on Twitter with the hashtag AskLHeat. Correct me if I'm wrong, but either just David or both of you wanted to run it back in the offseason, while in the end, we didn't have a choice but to run it back. But is winning one game in the playoffs what you had in mind? It's a great question. Not going to correct you, Jonathan. You had it. We both wanted to run it back. I think you and I were both excited about running this thing back, and this is not what I had in mind.
Well, I know it wasn't exactly how I had in mind. I honestly thought that they underperformed in the regular season, and I think a lot of that was because Whiteside underperformed during the regular season, and also because Deion Waiters wasn't there for most of the year.
Right.
You know, they didn't get the kind of development that I thought. Look, there were enough flashes there. Bam showed some improvement. Richardson, you know, started off well, then kind of tapered off, and he was kind of inconsistent throughout the regular season. Goran didn't play at the same level as he did the year before, although he did make the All-Star team. So, you know, I think they underperformed the regular season. I think they could have been a top four seed. I don't know how that would have changed, you know, as far as the playoffs are concerned. Would they have fared better if they had faced, say, I don't know, Indiana in the playoffs? Would they have done a better job facing?
Well, they could have. Maybe they beat Boston, I think, is an idea. Let me ask. I remember when we talked about this team, we were talking about the idea of just keeping a group together and getting better, right? Just getting better as a group. Ultimately, that's what I want from the Heat, because I do feel like basically since 2008, it's been a patchwork at a time. It's just been one Band-Aid after another. And it resulted in two titles and four trips to the finals, and that's fine. But at some point, you got to stop trading every draft pick you have. At some point, you got to stop relying on one single source of talent acquisition, in this case, free agency. You've got to get a group of players who you can just build around, which I just don't know that the Heat have right now.
But why? But why? Like you know,
because that's how you. I want sustained success. I would rather at this point. Look, we had that awesome 4-year run, and I'm spoiled. But I would rather have something like what San Antonio has, which every team wants, but something just, or even what Memphis had with the grit and grind area, that, or even the Clippers with the 50-win team. I just want to win 50 games a season and enjoy the players that are playing for the team. This is not that. This team wins 43 games in a season. I don't...
Okay, those 7 regular season games are going to make all that much of a difference?
Yes.
Like this, okay, to me,
yes,
when I said run it back, I was caught up in the buzz of last year, the strong second half finish. And I think if they had been able to maintain that, and I don't know if Deion's health would have been able to maintain that, if Hassan's engagement would have been able to maintain that, I'm not sure what the difference would have been.
If this team is healthy with Deion and they kind of run it back next year, right? Are you going to be cool with that? Like,
yes. Yes, I am. Look, right now...
But you don't want the extra 7 wins? I'm very confused.
I do want the extra 7 wins, and I think this team is capable of getting those extra 7 wins if they're fully healthy. Like, I don't think they're a 42-win team. I don't think they're a 43-win team. I think they can be better. I think, like I said, this year they underperformed. So I still feel like there's a higher ceiling for this team, even after 1 year. I think we're going to get continued growth from our young players. I think you're going to get back Deion Waiters. I think the biggest problem for me, and it's been a consistent one all year long, is Hassan Whiteside. And part of it for me is, look, you're getting people around the country watching this Miami Heat team, and they're all saying mostly the same thing, that this Heat team plays hard, and you know, they're fun to watch because they play so hard, etc. And that's what makes this team fun and enjoyable. And I'm okay with not reaching the kind of success that you're talking about, either in the playoffs or in the regular season, as long as this team is fun to watch and giving their all. The one player who doesn't give their all is Hassan Whiteside.
He's joyless.
And that's why he's
joyless to watch. Yeah, get rid of him.
That is a good word. That is a good word, because he absolutely is. You cannot root for a guy like Whiteside, who drags his ass all the time, complains like that, acts like he's never done anything wrong in the world, as the ball is sailing through his hands to start the game at every opportunity he gets.
In games 4 and 5, the very first play of the game, bobble James Johnson pass.
Yeah,
catch the damn ball, man. Look, I went into the season with the idea about, we've been discussing, again, trading, we've talked about trading Whiteside for 2 years now. The only thing I don't want to trade him because his Snapchat is so entertaining, but it was not entertaining during the regular season. So now he's got no good value to me. Dump him. Like, just dump. Trade him for Ian Mahinmi. I don't care. Just get rid of him. Get rid of him. Let's take this last question, unless something else comes in. This comes from Jeff Nichols. Jeff Nicholas. Can Olynyk play more at the four next year, or is he a pure five in today's NBA despite the strength mismatch that sometimes he presents? I think he could play at the four a little bit. Depending, like, if he's next to Bam, I think he could play more there. It just didn't work next to Whiteside. What do you think?
No, I disagree there. I look around at the power forward position or whatever that might be, and there are so few matchups where he can even out there. Like, he has the skills and the versatility that make that at the center position would make him dynamic. At the four, he would be exploited, particularly defensively. Like, he just doesn't have the kind of speed. Like, even in, you look around on other playoff teams, even in the Eastern Conference. I mean, Thad Young, LeBron James, Kevin Love, etc. I mean, Olynyk doesn't really match up well with any of them. Right? I mean, it's just it's a tough challenge. Maybe Love and in Cleveland, but I mean, you know, it's we're not really concerned about Love. He's not the main focus point there. I don't know. I mean, the Morris twins in Boston and Washington, respectively. I don't know.
I don't think he should primarily play the four, but I think he could. I think he could log more minutes at the four. Is all. If it's in like a drive and kick offense and he's spacing the floor a little bit for you, and I think he could. But I'm with you. I think he's best served as a five. Right. I mean, just using his ability to spread the floor would be huge. So basically, to conclude this podcast, we have decided to trade us on Whiteside for anything, bring Dion Waiters back, go back to a more fast-paced offense, use Olynyk at the five as a floor spacer. That's what we've decided here. And then we'll be good.
We'll be good. We won't be great. And that might be enough. I mean, look, we have to consider this possibility. It's like, what kind of team do you want? Like, I mean, I think back to, say, the New York Knicks in the 90s, or even those Heat teams in the 90s. You know,
no, maybe none of them. I don't want either of those teams. They play too slow.
Well, no. Not stylistically.
Oh.
But I'm saying as far as limited ceilings, or, you know, they were always one step behind. Okay, how about this? A more recent example, the Indiana Pacers during the Big Three era. That team was damn good.
Right? Okay.
I think we can all agree in retrospect.
Yes, but they accomplished nothing. But here's, I would rather have that team. Okay. That's slightly better, but with a stud young player. If the Heat had one stud young player, and I don't know that they have that right now, one guy who could provide hope, that's what I want. That's how I'm going to answer your question. Did Indiana have that? Yes, Paul George.
And look what happened to him.
I mean, yeah, but like, you can't just live in fear of your best player just leaving to the Lakers and taking a pit stop.
Why the hell not? That's the whole thing. Like,
so just never get a good player? Like,
No. I mean, you do what you can, but the reality is that the team turns over every three or four seasons. Like, every team turns over every three or four seasons.
I just want a good...
You're not going to build a legacy. You're not going to build a dynasty anymore.
So just keep giving me...
That shit doesn't happen. Pardon my
French. That's fine, but just keep giving me... Every three or four years, give me one player to latch all of my hopes and dreams on. That's what I want. That's fine. I mean, like, I'm fine with that. You trade, guess what? You trade Paul George and you get
Philadelphia already, and this team isn't going to last beyond two seasons.
You trade Paul George and you get Victor Oladipo, and now they love Oladipo. That he's your hope, and you push the Cavs in the first round and ultimately lose. I just want hope. Every three or four years, just give me a player that I could just put all my hopes and dreams into.
Justice Winslow.
Last question. That is my player. That's correct. That is correct. Last question, and I really quick answer. Do you think this comes from Matthew Larson? Do you guys think it's more likely for the Heat to re-up next year or trade guys like Whiteside and Dragic? We've talked about this throughout the podcast, but this is just on the spot. More likely. Which is more likely? Same team or different team having and the Heat find a way to unload Whiteside and Dragic?
Same team.
I think it's more likely that's the same team. I think, now rephrase the question, more next year or trade guys like just Whiteside. My likeliest scenario, we're going to talk about this so much in the offseason in the next few months, but right now I really do think that the likeliest scenario that I can see is that they get to as close as blowing this thing up as possible. I really do. I don't think that the star is going to come. I just don't think that the right guy's out there right now. And I think that they're not going to be able to blow it up completely. They just don't have the tools to do it. but they're going to try to do it as close as, and that's going to include getting rid of Whiteside and maybe another guy, maybe Dragic, maybe James Johnson, maybe Deion for nothing. We'll see. All right. Well, thank you. This has been our live edition of Locked On Heat, not only recapping Game 5, but recapping kind of the whole season and then previewing the entire offseason and things that we're going to talk about. So if you're a first-time listener, welcome. Thank you for listening. You can find us on iTunes or on Spotify or your whatever podcast app you like to listen to podcasts on. And if you're a returning listener, thanks for always listening. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps that don't exist anymore using the hashtag AskLOHeat. But you can always ask us questions on Twitter. Again, hashtag AskLOHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat, where you can find all of the cap information that we refer to in this show. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.